I'm going to have to give an answer for this congregation. I'm going to have to give an answer for the salary that was paid to me, for every contribution that came into this church, every piece of money that we gave to missions, to anybody. We are going to be accountable for that. It's important that we understand that we're not going to escape the judgment of God. And if we fleece, and if we misuse God's funds, then God cannot bless.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Well, we're glad you've joined us today for the launch of a new series exposing the selfishness and greed of false spiritual teachers. Roel will begin by outlining how deceptive religious leaders will take advantage of those who don't really know God's truth, using this ignorance for their own personal gain. Stay with us for a challenge to stand firm in God's Word as you honor Him with obedience and integrity. Now, with the lesson Introduction to False Teachers, here's Roel Reese in 2 Peter chapter 2.
Let me give you an introduction to 1 and 2 Peter, just very short, and what it's about. Because, first of all, Peter is writing in a time where the Roman government was ruling over Palestine. Caesar Nero had come to the throne, and he had made a proclamation that every person had to proclaim and bow their knees and confess with their tongue that Caesar was Lord. Very important declaration had to be made. And so as these Christians would come to the throne of Caesar Nero, hundreds, millions of them declared Jesus is Lord and not Caesar. And so because of that proclamation and declaration they made, a stand for Christ, they were thrown to the lion's dens. Some of them were put on crosses. Some of them were put on poles and tarred and then lit on fire. Some of them were cut in two. They were laid down on horses and their ankles were tied to two different horses and they ran in different directions. And you have to read the book of martyrdom in the early church. It's incredible how many people had died for Jesus Christ. So Peter writes two letters, 1 and 2 Peter. And in 1 Peter, he writes to share with us that 1 Peter was written for all the suffering that was going on in the early church to prepare us for the suffering that was coming. And so when you read 1 Peter, the letter had been written to prepare them to suffer for the kingdom of God or for the sake of Jesus Christ. And then 2 Peter was written to warn those people in the early church and those that would live after the early church even into the future against the enchantment of false teachers that would come with their heresies and would try to seduce people into giving to them not only food and shelter but also money. And so Peter writes 2 Peter in chapter 2 and 3 to expose these false preachers or false teachers or false prophets that had brought their heresies into the church. When you study the Greek language and you look at the Greek context of 1 and 2 Peter compared to all the other epistles, 2 Peter and 1 Peter are written in the most richest Greek you could write in. You find the richest Greek. And what's really interesting is that Peter uses some key words in this epistle to identify what he's trying to write about. For example, there are 10 references that Peter uses in 2 Peter to the word right, to the word righteous, and to the word righteousness, speaking of the character of the believer, the type of person that you were to be in Jesus Christ. Secondly, there are 17 references to the word knowledge and understanding. And understanding where not only Peter was writing, but what was given through the Holy Spirit's illumination, inspiration, and revelation. so that people could understand the word of God. 17 references given to the word to know or knowledge or understanding. Thirdly, there are 16 references made to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and Master. The importance of the Lordship of Jesus Christ is found in 2 Peter. And then fourthly, there are 5 references to the word godliness, speaking of the characteristic of the child of God. What he's to be godlike. He's to be holy. And then fifthly, which was interesting, there are 5 times that he uses in his epistle a call to remembrance, a call to repetition. And I want to take you through this so you can see what Peter is trying to say. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 and 15, what Peter says here. He begins in verse 12. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent or this body, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure you that you always have a reminder of these things after my disease. What is Peter talking about? Peter wants you and wants me and wants them to understand that he will never, ever, ever stop speaking by repetition. Reminding them of the things already written in the Word of God. Why? Because we so easily forget what has been written. That's why one of the great instruments or tools of teaching is repetition. Repetition teaches people. And that's why, like little children in kindergarten and first and second grade, they kind of talk out loud, you know, by repetition, not only the alphabet, but also sentences and words, so they can memorize and they can remember what is being taught in the classroom. This is a type of teaching Peter brings forth, so that we can learn, so we can be reminded when we forget the basics of the kingdom of God. And so these false teachers were coming in and bringing heresy into the church. And the only reason they were bringing heresy is only to enrich themselves and to become wealthy and healthy and prosperous. The same type of doctrine that is being preached today. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 2. And let's begin our introduction this morning to this chapter. You notice that in this opening paragraph, Peter here gives to us a concise picture of the coming of false teachers. He begins with a little word, but, B-U-T. And that word is very important in the second epistle of Peter, because what it does, it is taking you back to the previous chapter, the previous verses. Before he makes his introduction to the false prophets and to the false teachers, he's trying to share with you what a true prophet of God is. And that is found in verse 19, 20, and 21 of chapter 1. Let's read and see what he says. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to hear, as a light that shines in a dark place, until, notice, the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, the Lord only showed me. He didn't show you, but God gave me a private interpretation. That's not true. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but by holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Here in verses 19, 20, and 21, we have 3 important things that you need to write down in your Bibles or on a piece of paper. First of all, in verse 19, he shares with you that the Word of God has come through illumination. That the true prophets of God, God has spoken to them through the illumination of the Holy Spirit. They were illuminated. Secondly, The word of God was given to these prophets by revelation. And that's in verse 20. And thirdly, in verse 21, the prophets and the word of God and the prophecy was given by inspiration. So you have illumination, you have revelation, and inspiration, which are the most three important things in the word of God. Because one of the things that God is speaking about here is that we need to understand that these false teachers or false prophets were only interested in self-seeking themselves, to enrich themselves. And I think that the Old Testament brings about some really good thoughts for us to chew on, because it's important that way before, you know, Peter ever wrote, long before the true work of God came about here, the Old Testament already had given to us some of the presence of the satanic counterfeits that were coming into the church, even in the early church in the New Testament times. There's a saying that says, whenever God erects a house of prayer, the devil always builds a chapel next to the door. Think about that. Whenever God is doing a work, Satan always counterfeits. When Moses was doing the miracles before Pharaoh, what did Pharaoh's magicians do? They counterfeited everything, except they could not counterfeit life. Like, God is the only one that creates life. Everything else Satan could counterfeit. And these false teachers are illuminated by Satan, not by God. They do teach heresy, and they teach this doctrine of prosperity that, you know, God never intended you to drive a Volkswagen. What you need is a Cadillac or a Mercedes-Benz. And you need to have a big house. And you need to just confess it and don't think negative, because if you have negative thoughts, and it's not going to come to pass. And God seems to be the little genie in the little bottle. And all you have to do is just rub it and confess it, and all your wishes will come through. That's not true. It doesn't work like that. God never said that if you pray, you are going to receive material things. God always speaks about heavenly blessings or spiritual blessings that are given to us, not material blessings. Yes, material blessings come, but God never promised us anything. He promised us what? Only hell. That's all we deserve. But He's given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ, eternal life. Something that we don't deserve, but is given to us through Christ Himself.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com to look through our wide selection of resources for direction and support in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus. You can also email Raul your Bible questions and prayer needs at PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now back to more from 2 Peter chapter 2.
The word false was a very interesting word. I kind of looked it up and did a little in-depth study. I went up to the Webster dictionary to see what Webster had to say about the word false. And the word false is an adjective. And it comes, in our English definition, the word is not true or in error or incorrect or mistaken, as in a false argument. Secondly, the use is untruthful, lying, or dishonest, as in a false witness. Thirdly, disloyal, misleading, as of a friend or a false friend. And fourthly, deceiving, or meant to deceive, or meant to mislead someone, a false assent, or not real, artificial, or counterfeit, as in a false truth. Six, not properly surnamed, or deceptively resembling. The word teacher is a noun, and it means a person who teaches, especially a profession, by instructing. It can be good, or it can be evil. In this sense, it is used in an evil sense of deception. Not speaking the truth, but bringing people, using a counterfeit to falsify something and not really speak the truth to the people and take the people as a merchandise. This morning, what I want to do is I want to give you six characteristics, six things to the nature of these false teachers in the Old Testament. And then we'll come back next week into chapter 2, the New Testament. You could write down the scriptures if you want to, but let me first of all begin by this. Unlike true prophets, they do not speak with divine authority. They do not speak with divine authority. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 13. Beginning with verse 1. He says, this is Moses speaking as they're writing the Pentateuch. This is the last book to the Pentateuch. If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass of which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold him fast. Now, this is the Old Testament, as Moses already can foresee what's going to happen in the future. And he's writing through the illumination, revelation, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warning about dreamers and prophets. Be careful, he says. Why? Because in those days there were already false prophets. Now, in the Old Testament, when a false prophet or a false dreamer would dream dreams and speak in the name of God when God had not spoken, his penalty was stoning to death. But watch what he says in verse 5. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken in order to turn you away from the Lord your God. There is their motive. He says, who brought you out of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of bondage, to entice you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall put away the evil from your midst. See, God says, get rid of him. Don't have nothing to do with him. But secondly, in this point, is that these people frequently, their message was one of peace, not true peace, and security, in contrast to the prophecy of future judgment, where God was going to bring his judgment against them. They were saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord. Watch what he says. Turn to Jeremiah again, chapter 4, verse 10. And then I said, our Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived this people in Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches to their heart. And at that time, it will be said to this people, said in Jerusalem, a dry wind of the desolate height blows in the wilderness towards the daughter of my people, not to fan or to cleanse it. Which means what? God was going to bring his judgment. And then again, we see it in chapter 6 of Jeremiah, verse 14. He says, they have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Notice they couldn't even turn red. Therefore, they shall fall among those who fall at that time I punish them. And you know, when these guys were being interviewed, there was no shame behind them. They weren't blushing. It's sad how they don't have peace and they don't bring true peace, but it's a false peace that they bring to the people. And then again, thirdly, they were condemned to be punished. Jeremiah 14:15 says that. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy my name, whom I did not send, and who say the sword and famine shall not be in this land. By the sword and the famine, those prophets shall be consumed. Notice that. They will die. And the people will be taken into captivity. In the next verse, it says that. And then fourthly, these false prophets were interested only in personal gain, the mighty dollar. The mighty dollar was their interest. They didn't even have a calling of God. It's sad, but it's true. Look at Micah chapter 3, beginning with verse 11. He says, Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money, and yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm shall come upon us. Think of that. These people were deceived. In the time of Micah the prophet, 500 years before Jesus Christ was ever born, these people already were prophesying falsely and saying nothing will happen to us. They were making a gain to themselves. They were fleecing the flock of God. We'll get to that in 2 Peter, where they make a merchandise of God's people. The little old ladies, they get these computerized letters. Maybe you get some too. And it says, Dear Anne, I've been thinking about you and I've been praying for you. And it's all been done by computers. And then it says, please send your check of $50 because we need your help. This ministry cannot make it without you. You know, God is poor. How sad. And people sign and people use their Visa card. It's sad. And people go out and they don't want to see the truth of God. They say, oh, you know what? You're getting too critical. Well, I'd rather be critical than this than anything else. I want to warn you because it's sad. A lot of garbage that's going on, and yet the church needs to awake because they don't understand they're going to be punished, but also their interest is personal gains. They buy their boats, and they buy their houses, and they buy their clothes, and they have bank accounts all over the world, and they never hurt while people are hurting financially and spiritually. They're totally deceived. Fifthly, these false prophets were dissoluted in their personal life, which means some of them even have sexual problems. Not only greed, but they have their concubines around the world. And they get themselves in trouble. They don't have a life of godliness. They don't have integrity. You have to be accountable. You have to be responsible. Because these people forget that one day the great judge, Jesus Christ, is going to judge every one of us. I'm going to have to give an answer for this congregation. I'm going to have to give an answer for the salary that was paid to me, for every contribution that came into this church, every piece of money that we gave to missions, to anybody. We are going to be accountable for that. It's important that we understand that we're not going to escape the judgment of God. And if we fleece, and if we misuse God's funds, then God cannot bless. God cannot bless the way He really wants to bless. And you may say, well, these people are being blessed. Well, of course. Look at all the thousands and millions of dollars they spend in advertisement. Sad, sad, sad. But it's happening and it needs to be exposed.
The Bible warns us that in the last days, many people will stray from God's truth. And today we've learned how deceptive religious leaders will play a hand in that tragedy. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was our introduction to his False Teachers series. If you'd like to get a complete copy, just call us at 800-634-9165. And for a donation of $5 or more, we'll send a copy to you. Now, to help you remain steadfast in your faith, we'd like to offer you a series titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. It's available on both CD and thumb drive. As you dive into the motives and methods of self-serving people of influence in the church, you'll also find out how to guard against Satan's attempts to draw you into a place of spiritual confusion and fruitlessness. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order all 6-part study titled False Prophets, Ravenous Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. We'll send you the CD set for $21 or the thumb drive for just $10. That's 800-634-9165. To order this resource by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Your tax-deductible gifts support our mission to share the life-giving truth of the Word of God, and we appreciate your generous partnership. Be sure and tune in next time for more from this series. As you consider that actions truly can speak louder than words, you'll learn to evaluate the authenticity of those in positions of spiritual leadership by the fruit of their lives. Now, with the closing comment, here's Raul once again.
And then lastly, six, these false prophets above all, are men who have led other men further away from God. Instead of leading people to God, they're leading people to themselves, away from God. Totally away from God. And we read that in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. And what was the result of that? The conclusion of the whole matter was what? That prophet was to be stoned to death. Let me say that one day, Jesus Christ will judge these people, even as Jesus Christ will judge us for our motives. Praise God that our sins are forgiven and cleansed and washed, which will never be judged ever again for that. But we are going to be judged for our motives, in our giving, in our praying, in our sitting here this morning. And whatever we do, we need to have integrity, because we are the children of the light, not children of darkness.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.